Pacea Domnului, în această seară voi vorbi despre ce înseamnă să ai un caracter creștin, ce este caracterul creștin și mă voi concentra asupra faptului că este o diferență între a face și a fi. For tonight's message, I will focus on what is Christian character. How do we define Christian character? And for that purpose, I will read from Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. The Word of God says the following. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All this I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Amen. We live in a community where, throughout time, we were very legalistic. When we tried to define in the Romanian community at large, in Romania, here in the United States, when we tried to define Christian character, we define it to what you can do, what you cannot do. You can do this, you can do that, you can do that, but for sure you cannot do this or you cannot do that. And the story of the rich young ruler that we have read tonight tells us there's a different story behind what it means to have a Christian character. There's something else. And just like I said a couple of Sundays ago during the prayer time, we need to get to the heart of the matter. We need to get to the heart, not just heart of the matter, but to the heart of the person who says they have Christian character. And first, I will try to define character. And one of the Christian thinkers, I think the name is Murphy, defined character as follows. He said, "Character comes from the Greek word character, which means enduring mark. The character of a coin gave its worth. The character of a person is considered to be the distinguishing characteristics or principles to which the person subscribes as a guide for his or her behavior." If you remember, Jesus, when he was asked, "Is it right to give taxes to the Romans?" he took a coin and said, "A cui chip este pe banul acesta? Al Cezarului." That's the enduring mark. The face of the Caesar on that coin gave that coin its worth. If we look at our money, okay, what gives our money its worth? What's the enduring mark? Of course, you have to have the signature of the treasurer of the United States, but there's one little phrase that actually gives our money what it's worth, and it is, let me see if I can find it, not on this one. It says, "This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private." If it doesn't have that, if this piece of paper doesn't have that statement from the federal government, it's worth nothing. It's just a piece of paper. But since they put their mark on this paper, they put that enduring mark, they put that statement, that's what makes this $20 bill. Otherwise, without that statement, it's worth nothing. It's just a piece of cotton paper and that's it, nothing else. And tonight, I would like to talk about what's our character? What's our enduring mark? What defines our character? Who we are? What's that set of principles, set of characteristics that guide us when we take action, that guide us when we make decisions? And first, I would like to look at this rich young ruler. The rich young ruler asked in verse 16, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get into eternal life?" What do I do? I want to get eternal life. I want to be in heaven. I want to be saved. What must I do? And Jesus replied with something interesting because he asked, what must I do? Jesus said, okay, here's the set of rules that you have to obey. And he took the Ten Commandments, the second part of the Ten Commandments that refer to our relationships on the horizontal, our relationships with each other, and said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give testimony. So that's the do not. And then what you should do, honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. And somewhere else, I think in Luke, the rich young ruler says, I have followed this since my childhood. I have done this. Okay, so that means I'm ready to be in heaven. I'm ready to have my eternal life. But this is where Jesus changes the paradigm, changes the way of thinking. This is where Jesus goes from to do to be, to be. If we look in verse 19, 21, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, not to do, but to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And what happens to the young man? He leaves, saddened, because the Bible says he had a lot of wealth. And this is the first thing that I want to leave with you tonight. When you're asking what to do, Jesus will reply, you need to be. And in order for you to be a Christian, to have Christian character, you have to leave everything else. And in this case, it was the wealth, because this young, rich young ruler, he followed all the other commandments, right? He committed all the things that he was supposed to do as a good Jewish person. But why did he do this? Why did he do all those things? Why did he follow the commandments? He did it because he wanted, in my opinion, he wanted to show off. He wanted to show off to his parents, to his friends. He wanted to have that righteousness, because Jesus says, we'll see later that Jesus says, you cannot have the righteousness of the Pharisees. And he wanted to have that righteousness that comes from doing something. But Jesus said, you cannot do something, you have to give up something. And then what you have to do is follow me. That means you have to see where's your allegiance. Is your allegiance with your money? In this case, it was money. Or is it your allegiance with me? Is your allegiance with your wealth? Is your heart, because we're going back to the matter of the heart, is your heart guided by your wealth? Or is your heart guided by me? For him, possessions were God. That was his God. And he could not give them up. The second character we're going to look at are the Pharisees. We're going to take them as a group. And the Pharisees were well known for following the rules. They made a God out of the rules, out of the regulations. They took the Ten Commandments and then they expanded them to over 600 rules and regulations they had to follow. And if we look in chapter 9, verse 9 through 12, 13, the Word of God says the following. As Jesus went out from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. The Pharisees were looking at the outside. If the Pharisee would have looked at the young, rich ruler, they would have said, number one, you're the best. Okay, you follow all the rules, all the regulations. But now Jesus, he's eating with his sinners. He's eating with the tax collectors. They didn't see what Matthew did when Jesus told him, come and follow me. He left everything. He left the tax collector booth and he followed Jesus. When he told the rich young ruler, come and follow me, he couldn't do that. He couldn't give up his possessions. The Pharisees did not see that. All they saw was that Jesus was eating with the sinners. Later, we'll see that the Pharisees in Matthew 12:14, the Pharisees were planning on killing Jesus because he dared to break their rule on the Sabbath. When the man with the shriveled hand came, and Jesus said, is it good to do good on the Sabbath? Okay, is it good to heal on the Sabbath? The Pharisees could not wait to see what Jesus is going to do. And when he healed that man, when he healed that shriveled hand, the Pharisees said, okay, that's it. He's not following our rules. He's not following our regulations. He deserves to die. And in Matthew 5:20, the Word of God warns us that our righteousness has to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees if we are to enter the kingdom of heaven. And their righteousness rely on the law. And we'll see, I think, a whole chapter from Matthew, chapter 23, is dedicated to what was important for the Pharisees, how they made their rules more important than the Word of God, how they made their rules more important than the will of God. They were focusing on titles. They were focusing on giving tithe to church, 10%. They were focusing on putting burdens on people's shoulders. And that was their righteousness. They were focusing on doing, not being. And Jesus had all kinds of names for them. De la morminte văruite până la altele. But they found a God in their rules and regulations. If we are to have a Christian character, we cannot make our God rules and regulations. We cannot make our God the wealth, the possessions that we have. We cannot make our God our intelligence or the degrees we have. That cannot be our God. We cannot make our God our beauty, because some people make beauty their God and pursuing beauty as their God. We cannot do that if we are to have Christian character. And thirdly, what does this have to do with me? Where do I stand as a Christian? If I don't have to do anything to have Christian character, what do I actually have to do? Because what's next for me? What do I have to do? And if we look in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, it might get us on the right track. And the Word of God says the following. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Our first step into developing, into getting this Christian character that we're talking about, into being Christian, is to have a contrite heart, a broken heart. You come before God and say, God, my rules, my regulations, they're nothing. My money, that's nothing. My intelligence, that's nothing. My beauty, that's nothing. My relationships are nothing. Okay? Whatever I have, my knowledge is nothing. I'm broken, and I come before you as I am. I come before you just like Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Once your heart is broken, once you realize you don't have anything, once you realize you don't have to do many things, all you have to do is be crucified with Christ. and then let Christ live in you and through you. And in Matthew 16:24, Jesus Christ tells the people who are following him, you have to crucify yourself, give up your egos, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. It's simple as that. If we want to be called Christians, if you want to say, I have a Christian character, do not get bogged down in doing something, but focus on being something, being somebody. Let Christ live in you. Let Christ direct your life. Let the Holy Spirit, because we have been given the Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us wisdom. We have been given the Holy Spirit to help us change our lives. And I would like to conclude with a couple of stories. One of them is something that you're familiar with. You know of the young kid who was asked this following question, who are the saints? And after thinking for a while, the young kid said, the saints are the ones that light shines through. Because he's been to the old churches where the saints were the stained glass windows and the light was shining through in their church. And if you want to say, I have Christian character, you have to be that saint that light shines through, that lets the light of Christ shine through you. I remember back in 2005 when I went to Republic of Moldova with Charity Cup. I was part of the medical team, so since they didn't trust me with patients, they trusted me with starting their charts and actually giving my testimony to them before they get to see the doctor and praying with them. And as I was doing that, and there were days where we had over 100 patients that I get to talk to, that I get to pray with, there were a few days in a row that this young man who was at the university at the time, he kept on coming. And one day he decided to come and talk to me and said, what do you guys have? It was especially after a hard day because you had people waiting there from 6 or 7 in the morning. We barely woke up and they were already there. And by 4 in the afternoon, they were getting impatient. And he said, what do you guys have? How can you be so patient with these people? You gave up the comfort of United States, and you came here, and you're treated the way you are, but what do you have that's so different? Because whatever you have, I want to have. Whatever you guys have, that's what I want. And a few days later, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Because whatever we had that, you know, we were that glass that the light just shines through. He saw that. He saw Christ in us. Now, could have been other organizations that could have done a better job in helping the sick. Yeah, maybe Doctors Without Frontiers and all the other organizations. But they don't have what we have. They don't have Christ. They are not that glass that the light shines through. And I want to leave you with that question tonight. Was that enduring mark, was that character on you? Okay, what gives value to your character? What gives value to your life? Is it your possessions? People see you well because you have a lot of money? Is it your status? Is it the rules and regulations that you follow? Because there are people who live good lives following certain rules. And there are people who live by the ideas that you do not harm any other living being. And they live good lives. But is that Christian character? No, because there are rules and regulations. That's the mark they have on their character. For us as Christians, we have to have the mark of Jesus Christ. We have to have to be that glass that light shines through. And I want to leave you with a verse from 2 Corinthians 3:18. And Apostle Paul says the following, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's all reflect that glory. Let's all stop doing and start being followers of Christ, because the Bible says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And if it's your heart is with Christ in heaven, if your heart is focusing on following Christ, if your heart is surrendered, absolutely surrendered to Christ, I'm sure that the people around you will see that, because you're going to be transformed into his likeness. Thank you. Amen.